Word of God today talks about new things. Jesus talks about a new commandment. The book of Revelation talks about a new heaven, a new earth, represented a new Jerusalem. Paul and Barnabas are preaching, so to speak, a new faith at the beginning of the Christian communities or the followers of Jesus. Believing, talking about new things is also talking about and seeing that new life is a possibility for us as well. If Jesus is giving a new commandment, the commandment of love, and here in the gospel, we have the context of the Last Supper. It is before Jesus, just before Jesus was really betrayed. I mean, the beginning of that, because it says, when Judas had left them. I mean, Judas Iscariot was the one who betrayed. He represents all the others also betrayed. Of course, he had ambitions perhaps in his heart. I don't know what he thought about his future, or he saw that following Jesus was not good enough, was not for him. So he decided, said, well, I better go, but I better go with, you know, provisions for my future. But also, there were others who were not faithful to the end. In approximately 3 years that Jesus was the one who went about Galilee and Judea, that area where he lived, where he went about with his disciples, how many healings he performed, how many miracles, how many people he fed, just and the multiplications of the bread, the loaves, and the fish. Where were these people? Where did they go? They were only, most of them, just for the occasion. They want to see something new. And they perhaps at that moment, you know, they applauded. And they had expressions of awe and, you know, saying how beautiful all this. Yet, one step farther is necessary. That the conversion of one's heart. You cannot be a follower of Jesus if that step is not there. That's why the Word of God also today talks about suffering. Not explicitly, but we can find when it mentions Judas, we of course comes to mind the betrayal and the result of that betrayal, that Jesus, you know, was arrested, was, you know, hastily tried overnight, and then just the following day after these events, he was put to death on a cross. So there is suffering there. First reading, Paul, his what we call the missionary travels, where he would go from especially major cities of the world that was known to him, which is basically around parts of around the Mediterranean Sea, but today would be Lebanon, Turkey, the Greek islands, you know, those were the places as far as Rome. That's where Paul reached. But that was the world for them at that time. They lived, that they knew. And he was also, wherever he was going, he was forming the communities, preaching the words of Jesus. Not so much the doctrine or anything. He would just say, I'm presenting you Jesus, the one who was sent to God, told by the prophets, who was not accepted, was put to death, but God had raised him from the dead, and now he is with God in heaven. He ascended to heaven, and his message is the message of salvation. That was what Paul and the others, Barnabas and the others, were preaching. And they were forming those small, at first, small communities. And he would say, be prepared for persecution. Be prepared for trials. So there is that suffering. Yet, Jesus is talking about being glorified. That he was about to be glorified because he would not be forgotten in that cross. He would not be forgotten by God. He would be glorified in his resurrection because he was faithful to God to the end. But also God would be glorified, God the Father, because on sending Jesus, his only Son, for our salvation, that Son did not betray, did not run away, but went and fulfilled his mission to the end. And then he gives the commandment of love. It's not easy to talk about love. Or rather, it is very easy. We could be talking for hours about love. You know, there are so many, you know, even in literature, poetries, and basically all the music that we hear is either is, you know, romantic and beautiful, talking about a beautiful love, or it is sad, talking about the breakups, the loss of that, you know, love. So it is pretty much present in every day. Yet Jesus raises the bar very, very high. When he says, you know, this is the new commandment, what is new in that? First of all, even the Old Testament, all the Jews, on the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 18, it would say that you should love your neighbor as you love yourself. So that's not new. What is new is, Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. That is, and that can give us much to think about. How did he loved us? With the greatest love. With the greatest love to the point of give himself up to death, death on a cross. And then he goes on. That is how people will know that you are my disciples. That must be your identity. That's our identity as Jesus followers, as Jesus disciples in today's world. The identity of love. Now that's challenging, because we are invited to love even those who do not love us, even those who do not think the way we think. And it is pretty much challenging in our days when, you know, all different ideas are celebrated. And, you know, in the past, it seems that the world was just, you know, one idea and everybody would follow and everything would fall into place and naturally. Nowadays, no longer. Different ideas, different way of seeing the world, and we should love all those. We might have disagreement, but that should be done respectfully. Never attacking a person because he or she thinks differently. It's not giving up and say everything is fine, everything is okay. You know, you live your life and live my life. That would be the easiest way. But not, that's not the Christian way. And that's not love. That's kind of, oh, I tolerate you. But the love that Jesus is asking us is, it's more than just tolerance. It is embracing the person. We often admire, you know, the works of Saint Teresa of Calcutta, who would go through the, you know, the streets and gathering the poor. She couldn't do much for them. She couldn't do much. Many of them were just dying, you know, forgotten. And once they ask, why you do this? And, well, at least if they didn't have a dignified life, at least they can have a dignified death at that moment. And she saw, and because I see Christ in them. Never asking, who are you? What do you believe? What? No. Embracing them and give them dignity. Of course, saints like that don't happen everywhere and every day. But the little that we can do, open our minds to that love. Open our minds to say that I do have that identity. I'm not prejudging other people, not excluding them just because they are, you know, from different places or different ideas, and so you're not part of my circle of friends, so I do not need to love you. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Pope Francis talks about a lot about that, and many times he is misunderstood because they say, what is he talking about? He's talking about going back to our roots, going back to Jesus' very teachings that are so much concrete. There are actions. There are ways that we not only to think about or to love. We gather here because we follow a glorified Lord who is risen and is it God in heaven and has given us, you know, has given us the way, has given us all the tools to follow him in that. Because as we heard in the book of Revelations, he's the one who's making everything new. And he can renew also our hearts. He can renew also our lives so that we won't be, you know, out of this great family of the followers of Jesus. But as he says, this is how they will know that you are my disciples. And he will know that we are his disciples if we love one another.